Aren't you glad He died and rose again? Oh, man, all that we have in Him. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. If you don't have your Bible, we have it up on the screen for you. So why do you put that up there, Pastor? Because people need to see that we're not preaching opinions around here. That we're not preaching philosophies or man's thoughts or man's ideas. There's enough of that going around in the world. And unfortunately, it's crept into the churches. We're going to stick with the Bible because the Word says that it's sharp and powerful. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the Word, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's also the power of God unto your healing. It's also the power of God unto your prosperity. It's also the power of God unto the change in your life. I don't know what brought you here today. I don't know everything that's going on in your life. But I'm here to tell you, today marks a new beginning. I'm telling you, you start doing things His way, and it starts to change, and you'll just be addicted and hooked on Him. Praise God. So let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank You for the opportunity to stand before Your people and share Your Word. Father, we're so thankful for that opportunity. Now, Father, nobody came to just hear from a man. People came to hear from heaven. So, Father, I thank You that when I open my mouth, You're going to fill it with words from heaven. I will this morning speak as the oracles of God. I will be the mouthpiece of heaven this morning. And, Father, we'll make sure to glorify You and to magnify You. But, Father, I know what's going to happen here today. You're going to say things through me that are going to be pertinent and strike a chord in every single person's heart here today. And, Father, it'll be so specific to their life and so it'll be so supernatural that they'll wonder to themselves, how did Pastor know I needed to hear that? And the truth is, Father, I don't know what people need to hear. I know the Word's good. But, Father, You know specifics in their life. So, Father, I thank You You'll speak to them this morning. Father, about things that I would not know to say, only that You would. And, Father, it'll be a sign unto them of how much You love them, how much You care for them, and that this is a place where they can actually come and hear from heaven. So, Father, we magnify You. We don't glorify the preacher. We don't glorify the name on the building. We always glorify You. So help us today. And we thank You for the increase that's to come from this message. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel like when I say amen before I preach, the bull, that the door gets opened in the rodeo, and they gets unleashed into the rodeo grounds. That's what I feel like when I say amen. I'm ready to unleash on the devil. Praise God. But in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, we've been talking about how to be led by the Spirit of God. Now this series, I believe, might be one of the most important series that you could ever share on in the body of Christ. It is truly a matter of life and death at times, a matter of prosperity and poverty, a matter of frustration and a matter of joy, a matter of discouragement and a matter of favor, learning how to follow the Holy Ghost. And this is part 4, and thank God we have live stream if you want to get on our website, which if you're wondering what the website is, it's on the back of this card. And you just go to archives, click sermons, and there'll be a couple drop-down tabs from Allegheny or South Dayton, or just hit sermons and they're all jumbled together in the date of which, in the order of the date which I preach them. But I don't have a whole lot of time for review, but there are a few things that I do want to say. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. What's he saying? Don't do things your way. And then he gives you an invitation in verse 6. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, or acknowledge me, he would say. And the Bible says he'll direct your paths. These verses here, God's telling us the key ingredients and the secret to a blessed life. He said, if you'll acknowledge me in all your ways and not do it your own way. He said, and if you learn to trust with me in your own heart, not in your flesh, not in your mind, he said, I'll direct your paths. And we saw a little bit, I'll just pull this up, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And Kim, would you pull that up in the Amplified, please? But when it talks about God leading and guiding your paths, do we want God directing us? Well, he said, I'll lead you by the still waters. He said, I'll lead you into the green pastures. He said in Isaiah 48, he said that I'll teach you or lead you and guide you in how to profit. So yeah, you want God leading you. And this verse tells us in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says, for we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand. Now look at this. For us, taking paths What are we talking about? Being guided, being led by God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. Well, what's path? He's got paths for you, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. You know what he's saying? You should do it my way. That's what God is saying. God is saying, I know best for your life. I'm your dad. I'm your heavenly father. I sit from a perched position. I see everything you're going through. I know the places that you're stuck. I know the places that are hard. I know the places that it doesn't look like you can get past, but I can see. Just the same way if you were in the forest and you were lost, you know. It's pretty hard to get truly lost in America, unless you're out in the Rocky Mountains or something. But around here, you get lost in the woods, you know. Really, if you just go one direction for long enough, you'll probably hit a road or something. But even if you were lost in the woods, you need to get out, you know, and you're stuck and it looks all thick and swampy and trees and everything. From a perched position, if you could see yourself from an airplane and relay down to yourself, you could say, hey, just turn around, walk 50 yards. Just turn around, walk 200 yards. You'll be, see, when you're in it, it's hard to see it, but when you're above it, it's easier to see. And God is saying, you should take my path, my plan. Why? Because on my path, you'll live the good life. Amen. What's the good life? A life of prosperity. A life of favor. A life of victory. Or what the Word calls abundant life. Jesus said heaven on earth kind of life. The victorious life, praise God, that he prearranged and made ready for us to live. What's he saying? On his path is the green pastures, is the still waters, is the prosperity, is the good life. Now, I told you the story. I take my little Abby here, you know. She just turned 6, so she's getting older now. I mean, she's old now. 5 to 6, that's a big difference, you know. She's old-timer now. And I take her out in the woods with me. She's 2, 3 years old. And we walk in the woods, you know, and you know, when you're little, it's a little bit different walking in the woods. You know, you got all, you don't know what to look for. You don't know what's poison ivy. You don't know what's briars and prickers. You're just kind of going through, tiptoeing through the tulips, as I guess you'd say. You don't know when there's going to be a hole that you fall in with the mud or sticks that you trip on. And I don't want her getting bloodied up. I don't want her getting all muddy and getting hurt. So I tell her, now, Abby, stay right behind Daddy. Stay in Daddy's path. Stay in Daddy's path. Well, what happens when she stays in Daddy's path? Daddy clears the way. Daddy makes it a blessing for her. Daddy gets the hard things out of the way. Daddy gets the scary things out of the way for her, right? But, you know, kids are kids, and kids do things. And at times, I'd be walking, all of a sudden, I'd see Abby way off to the side, getting stuff out of her face. Abby come running back to me, all muddy, bloody in her face from prickers and things, crying. Why? She didn't stay in Daddy's path. And that's an analogy of a lot of Christians' lives. They're out doing things their own way. God says, I have a path for you. I have a plan for you. And it's this way. And people are doing this. You know, God tells people, one of the things that I'm amazed by is the Lord says that without a shepherd, you'll be scattered and faint, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, 35 and 36. The Amplified says, somebody without a shepherd will be scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. God says, one of the paths I have for you, and so many Christians are off here, they don't have a pastor. They're wondering, why is my life hard? I remember telling this to somebody on the phone one time. They said they were telling me they were struggling. I said, the first step for you, if you're Christian, saved, you need to get in a Bible teaching church and plant yourself. You'll never get the full blessing until you do it God's way. I said, Jesus said your life will look a certain way. Scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, like sheep without a shepherd. That's what your life will look like. And the person on the other end started crying. They said, that's an exact picture of my life. I said, well, you can't expect to have more than what God says you can have. You can have exactly what he says you can have, good or bad, you know. And so God has a path and a plan for people. But people are off doing it themselves, and they're getting into the briars of life, in the prickers of life, and they're thinking to themselves, they're saying, God's mad at me. God's after me. Well, it's not my fault that Abby walked off, and I told her, I said, stay right behind me. You know, when she gets to an age, she can understand me and get disciplined for not listening. I said, stay right behind me. She doesn't stay right behind me, or she gets out in front of me. That's not Dad's fault. Dad didn't want her to get caught up in that mud or get trip on that stick and get hurt or get cut on her face or cut on her arms and her legs. Daddy didn't want that. That wasn't Daddy's purpose. That wasn't Daddy's plan. Oh, a lot of people a lot of times cry, the devil's after me, the devil's after me. No, a lot of times we just get in our own way. Amen. It wasn't the devil's fault she walked over into the prickers. Right. It wasn't the devil's fault. If God says, here, I said go this way, and people say, I'm going to go this way with my money. I'm going to go, God says, go this way spiritually, so I'm going to go this way spiritually. Huh? That ain't his fault when you get over into the briars. Right. That ain't even the devil's fault. That's right. Come on, I'm trying to help you. Yeah. I'm trying to encourage you to do it God's way. To learn how to do it God's way. And so we're talking about this. So Romans 8:14 real quick. Romans 8:14. You can't go into this series without review because there's so much that needs to be said. So if God said, I'm going to lead you, I have the good plans for you. You know, if you start thinking of God like a father, it'll change some things about how you view him. Instead of this religious judge sitting on a seat that's just trying to strike you down. No, he's our heavenly father. And Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, if good parents know how to take care of their kids, he said, how much more will your heavenly father give good things to his children? He's saying that God trumps us as a father, and I know what kind of a dad I am. To the best of my knowledge, I love my kids as much as you can love a child. To the best of my knowledge, I do for my kids as much as you can to keep them safe, protected, blessed, and healthy. I love them, amen? I love them. But God loves them more. God loves me more, and God's a better dad than I am. If you'll start thinking of him that way, you know, when we go walk in the woods, I don't tell Abby, I know there's a poison ivy patch over there. Abby, you should go walk right through that. Go lay around and roll around in that, play in that. Walking through the woods, and there's a briars on the side. Say, don't say anything to her as she's going to walk into it. No, that's not what a good father does. And your heavenly father says in Proverbs 3, let me be a part of your life. Let me direct your paths. Let me pave the way. Let me take you by the green pastures. Let me lead you by the still waters. And he wants to do that. He desires to do it. And we might say, wow, I want that. That sounds good. I want to live the good life that he prepared for me, the life of favor, prosperity, joy, victory, and peace. But you got to follow his rules. He said, for as many as are led, well, that's what we're talking about, being led, being guided, being directed. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, you can't play basketball with football rules. You'll get in trouble. You don't see Tom Brady drop back after he receives a snap and try to start dribbling that ball and go shoot it through the uprights, no. People look at him like he's crazy, get in trouble. His team wouldn't do good. He wouldn't do very good. You got to play by the rules. And God said, if you want to be led by me, if you want to be guided and directed into the good paths, into the things, you have to be led by the Spirit of God. It has nothing to do with your mind. It has nothing to do with your feelings or your emotions. But I'm here to declare to you, that's how most Christians live every single day of their life. Decision after decision based on emotions, based on feelings, based on thoughts. And they wonder, why is life like a pricker bush? Why is life like I'm stuck in the mud all the time, spinning my wheels? Not in his paths, it's not. Now, I'm not saying in his path or his plan there won't be tests and trials. But what's found in his path and his plan when the devil gives you tests and trials is found grace and victory. It's the ability to get past those things and not be stuck in those things. So many people live a lifestyle of crisis, a lifestyle of turmoil, a lifestyle of frustration, a lifestyle of tragedy, a lifestyle of just, it doesn't work for me. That's not the good life. Now, it's one thing to have seasons of those things. But if you have a lifestyle of poverty, you have a lifestyle of sickness, you have a lifestyle of depression, you have a lifestyle of anger, a lifestyle of discouragement, a lifestyle of frustration, that's not in God's path because that's not what he has for you in his path. So we're trying to pull you up higher. Actually, what I'm trying to do is to pull you onto his path. I know. I've done it both ways. His way is way better. He says, you got to follow the Holy Ghost. Well, we saw how that works. We saw that when we got born again, you can look online for this. I'm not going to flip there because we got to get going. When you get born again, the Bible says your spirit was made brand new, right? He becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what born again means. You didn't get born again naturally. Spiritually, you became born again. But the Bible also says at the new birth that the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit, came to dwell on the inside of you, came in there to live. And then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, who communes with your spirit, will hear from heaven concerning your life. You say, I don't know what to do about this situation. Is this the right relationship? Is this the right job? Is this the right place to live? You learn to hear from the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Spirit hears from heaven. God knows everything to do. He said, I'll direct your path. Well, how's he going to do it? He then relays it to the Holy Spirit, who then relays it to your spirit. So we say, we got to get figured out how to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We got to figure out how to be led by the Spirit of God and learn how to hear from His voice. And I told you last week, go to Colossians 3 and verse 14. I told you last week how He leads by the Spirit, but I told you what to look for. Colossians 3 and verse 14. Actually, go to verse 15. Look what it says in verse 15. Now remember what He said? Trust in me with all your what? Head? No. Trust in me with all your feelings and your emotions? No. See, here's the awesome thing. Let me help you real quick. You're here today. Aren't you? I mean, I'm not looking at a hologram, am I? You're here today. Right now, you're here. What's that mean? You're going to go forward from this place. You can't go back to yesterday. You can't go back to 10 years ago. Well, if I'd have done, you can't do it. But you know what you can do? You're here today. Say, well, I'm in a place now because of 10 years ago. I'm in a place now because of 5 years ago. I'm in a place now because of a month ago. Well, so what? You're here today. And God is sitting up in heaven saying, I see what you're in. I see what you're facing. Whether it's the devil that got you there, whether it's your own bad decisions that got you there, not following the Holy Ghost, I see where you're at. And I'm your dad, and I'm ready this day forward because His mercies are new every morning. I am ready from this moment on to go forth and to lead you into the green pastures. So don't sit there and think, well, it's too late for me. Don't sit there and think, well, I've done too many things wrong. It's a lost cause. No, that's what the devil wants you to think, because then he'll keep you in neutral. No, God says, go forward with me. The opportunity to go forward with Him into greater is right here, right now. Yeah, well, and I know what the devil will say. Yeah, well, but my situation. No, God's bigger and badder and better than your situation. He's stronger and more powerful than your situation. Let Him work, praise God. But I just don't understand. It doesn't matter if you understand. But I just don't see how it can happen. It doesn't matter if you can see how it can happen. Moses stood at the banks of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army coming down on him and had to get across. He could see no way out of that thing. Could see no way out of that thing. Naturally, David standing before Goliath, there's no natural way out of that thing. He's a boy. It's a champion of war. He's three times the size of David. Doesn't matter if you can see it. Doesn't matter if you know how. Just trust Him. Trust Him. He's the God that makes the way. He's the miracle-working God. In Colossians 3:15, remember he said, trust the Lord, not with your head, not with your emotions, with your heart. And it says in verse 15, let the peace of God rule or reign in your heart, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Now, Kim Ladd, will you pull that up in the Amplified? Say, how do we know what the Spirit's saying? Well, I'm here to tell you, God leads by peace. Let the peace, soul harmony, which come from Christ, rule, act as an umpire. Well, before the days of instant replay, you know, now it's a little different, but for the majority of the time that baseball has existed, there was an instant replay. And the umpires were the final say, no matter what it looked like, no matter what you thought. When the umpire said you were out, guess what? You were out. If the umpire said you were safe, doesn't matter. You're safe. But it looked out to me. Doesn't matter what it looks like. The umpire said safe. The umpire said out. The Bible says to let peace act like an umpire in your heart. Doing what? Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. You got to learn to follow the peace that's in your heart. How does God lead peace? You know how He doesn't lead the majority of time? Voices, dreams, visions. Now, there's times of those things, but that's not the norm. See, the reason that this Holy Ghost stuff and this peace stuff gets pushed aside is because it's not spectacular. But it's supernatural. To be able to hear from God on a situation and have peace or have lack of peace is so supernatural. But it's not spectacular. There's no fireworks. There's no angels appearing. There's no dramatic visions or dreams or Jesus appearing to you or some word from a minister. Let me tell you something. You don't want special words. You know what I found in the Bible and what I found in my own life? When I've got something more than peace, whether it be direction from a minister who spoke something in my life and read my mail and told me about the future, or whether God supernaturally, audibly spoke something to me or through a dream or vision, the majority of the time that I got something like that, hell on earth was about to come up. And those words and those visions and those dreams and those were anchors in my soul to hold me through a tough time. And you see the same thing in the Word. When people were visited dramatically at times, oh, rough sailing was ahead, but God did that for them so that they would be able to make it through and be blessed. But the way that God's going to lead us 99.9% of the time as His children is through peace. And the Bible says you let peace make the decision no matter what. And I told you the story last week of when God told me to go to Bible school in Oklahoma. Now, that was God's path. That was God's plan. Well, what's found on God's path and God's plan? The money, the healing, the favor, the prosperity, the victory, and the joy. That was on God's path. Well, I told you it was a hard thing for me to go to Oklahoma. As a young man, didn't have any money, had to get a full-time job. Remember, I wasn't very reliable, wasn't very faithful. Had just basically for a few months finally been faithful to a job. Prior to that, 2 years before, I had quit 26 jobs in 2 years. Went to 5, 6 different colleges. I had a whole lot of different things I was seeking out in my life and searching for. Well, when I knew God told me where to go, I knew God's way's best. Well, it's going to be hard going there. I got a 1990 Nissan pickup with rust and 200 some thousand miles. It hardly can run. God, take that. My family's not going to help me because they think I'm nuts. Going to go be a preacher now. You know, you've heard the story. And I got to get a full-time job and go to school full-time when I'm down there. That's something for me. I had to grow up and become a big boy real fast. Amen? And it didn't seem fun to go 18 hours away. Didn't seem fun to be away from everything that was comfortable and to put myself in a hard position like that. And then I had another preacher that said, don't go to that Bible school. Go to the one upstate New York, the one that's associated with our church. He said, I'll pay for it. I'll give you money to live on. You won't even have to get a job. You can come home on the weekends. And that's what he said to me. He said, and I will sign a contract before you go with my board that when you come back, you'll be the youth leader in our church. Because he had saw me interact with the kids at his church. I've always just had a way with them and had fun with kids, you know, and led to youth groups and things. And he saw that. He said, we'll pay you full time with benefits, vacation, everything. Start you off. You go finish the Bible school and you do good in that school that we pay for. I'll tell you what, you know what sounded good? That sounded real good. A couple hours upstate New York, still be able to come home on the weekends, not have to work, but just give my time to my studies. That sounded good. I'll tell you what, my mind and my emotions wanted that. But something on the inside of me, there was no peace. I had learned to follow God. Now, on the outside, in my head and in my flesh, going to Oklahoma sounded like hell on earth. My flesh didn't want to do it. My mind didn't want to do it. And that's the way most Christians are. Well, my flesh don't want to do it. My mind don't want to do it. So I'm not going to do it. But what if God says do it? Or what if things, well, my flesh and my mind say do it. But what if God on the inside saying don't do it? Oh, people violate this all the time. What do? They start getting off of God's path. Find themselves in the mud and getting beat up. It ain't the devil's fault. You know, Lot had his life totally turned and flipped upside down. Wasn't the devil's fault. Wasn't God's fault. Lot chose to go to the wrong place. We saw that. Lot chose to go somewhere that felt good, that was comfortable, that was good on his mind. And he went there and his life was destroyed. Abraham followed God and his life was blessed. And at times, God led Abraham into hard things that naturally seemed hard to his mind and his emotions, but he followed God. What am I trying to do? Spare you heartache. Spare you having to pick up the pieces of a crash in your life. Yeah. A lot of people are claiming, the devil's been after me, the devil's been after me. No. You're doing a good job yourself. You don't need his help. Now, other times the devil's after us, you betcha. But there's also times it's called self-inflicted wounds. I'm trying to spare you from those things. God says go this way and it's blessed, and we go this way and wonder why it's not blessed. Oh, devil must be after me. No. Amen. God must be angry and mad at me. No. He's your Father and loves you unconditionally, only wants you blessed. But you got to play by His rules. Amen. So we're trying to help you. So how? I said last week, I'm going to teach you how. How do we discern then that peace in our heart? Because our minds can be so loud. Our flesh can be so loud. How do we know? Is it me? Is it God? Is it me? Is it my head? Is it my emotions? I want to help you with that today. Amen? Now let me just start by saying this. This isn't hard. Because what you think is, well, man, Pastor Mike, for you, you could do that. You could follow the Holy Ghost. You're, after all, our pastor. Preacher so-and-so, they could do it. No. When he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that wasn't written to ministers. That was written to his children. The ability to be led by the Holy Ghost, to actually be led by God, is available to all of you. You just got to learn how to do it. Amen? You just got to learn how to follow the directions. Amen. But once you do, oh, what a life it is. Oh, man, I just want to dig this out of the ground. You know, sometimes there's stumps that are in the ground, and you got to pull the stumps out of the ground. Some of you, I'll say this by the Holy Ghost, have been spinning your wheels for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. Your body's not getting any better. Finances aren't getting any better. Things don't seem to be changing. Life's full of frustration. Life's full of anger. I know, by the Holy Spirit. God is trying to tell you through this series, aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? At some point in my life, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired and did it His way. Said, I'm tired of finding myself in the briars of life, in the prickers of life, in the mud pits of life, in the ruts of life. And God is offering you an opportunity to get out of those things. Amen. Hallelujah. And the lie the devil will give you is it's not going to change. It's not going to change. It won't if you don't. You're darn right it won't change if you won't change. God does not just reach out of heaven and be the puppet master and just change everything. No, He waits for people to cooperate with His word. He will let you be sick. He will let you be poor. He will let you be depressed. He will let you live in frustration. He will let you live in discouragement if that's what you choose. Absolutely. The children of Israel chose doubt and unbelief and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years of discouragement, depression, frustration, and anger. Sickness, disease, no favor. And God let them do it. Why? That's what they chose. God let Lot go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? That's what He chose. God is a gentleman. He's not going to reach down and force you to do anything. But He also, on the same token, He'll let you have all those things. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to have favor. So that lie that the devil's giving you, it's been this way for it's never going to change. Okay, fine. You keep that in your head. You keep going with that. You watch, it won't change. And 5 years from now, I'll be preaching the same series and you'll be in the same position. Amen? Isn't enough enough? Enough's enough. So I want to teach you how to follow this voice, how to hear from God. And I know at times it's tough because I don't know if that's me. Is God telling me that? Is my spirit telling me that? Is my flesh telling me that? Well, I'm here to tell you it's not hard. See, God doesn't make His ways hard. Because He wants people to receive. You know what the world's made hard? Getting accepted by God and getting into heaven. You know what God made about getting accepted by Him and getting into heaven? Made it simple. The world tells you it's a bunch of jumping through religious hoops and do this and cross this T and dot this I of life and religion. Then God will accept you. No. The Bible says if you believe on Jesus, you're accepted. You're in the family. That's simple. God doesn't make following the Holy Ghost hard, but you do have to do something. Are you ready to find out? Amen. Here we go. Because when I made that decision to go and follow God, I'll tell you what, my flesh was loud and my mind was loud. But thank God I learned how to follow the Holy Ghost. If the answer is found in the spirit of man, which the Bible says is the inward parts of the belly region, the center of man, if the answer comes there, then it's fruitless to look up here. It's fruitless to look in our feelings and our emotions, our flesh. If it comes to our spirit, then guess what we have to be and make sensitive? Our spirit man. Many people's spirit man is as dull as can be. Their mind and flesh are sharp. But their spirit man is dull. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't know if we'll finish today, we have to go into next week, how to make this sensitive to the voice of God to know when it's God talking to you. Are you ready? Because this is where the answer comes. Not in the mental arena, not in the fleshly arena, in your spirit. Now, the first thing you need to know, are you ready? If you want to get your spirit sensitive to hearing God, number one, you can't treat God like a drive-thru. Come on. That's good. What are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Well, what happens? You know, we pull up to McDonald's, pull up to Burger King. What do we want? We want something, so what do? We put our order in. And we don't have to wait very long for it, do we? We go around, pay, and go maybe to a second window and get our food. And I mean, if we're sitting there for 5 minutes, we start... Or maybe that's just me. You know, you're starting to feel that anger coming up from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. Where's my food? Where's my food? And that's the way a lot of people treat God when they have decisions. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are situations that arise in our life, attacks and things that show up unexpectedly that require answers now. But if you'll learn to be sensitive to your spirit, man, when those things arise, you'll know exactly what to do. But there are also times that people just want to treat God like a drive-thru about a big decision, something that they could have took time to pray on, something that they could have took time to seek God on, and they just go with their mind, go with their flesh, make a decision, and have no idea, and play lottery with their life. You can't treat God like a drive-thru. What do I mean by that? Put your request and expect to get an answer right away. Well, Lord, I need to know if I'm supposed to do that or not. Where's the answer? No, you're treating God like a drive-thru. That's not the rules. Right. Hallelujah. Psalms 27 and verse 14. Psalms 27 and verse 14. Can't treat God like a drive-thru. What am I talking about? Remember what I said in the slick text I sent you yesterday? We're going to learn how to continue to position ourselves to be able to hear from God. Psalms 27. At least I think that's what I said. Psalms 27 and verse 14. Oh, a dirty word here. You didn't think we had dirty four-letter words in church. We do. The first word of that verse, that's a dirty four-letter word to a Christian. Wait. 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 Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Waiting on Him. What does that mean? Spending time in His presence. Spending time praying, spending time seeking God for decisions, for answers in your life. He says, how are you going to get them? Wait on me. Wait on me. Wait on me. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. I want it now. Sound like Abby. Huh. I want it now. Especially when she's hungry. Oh, man. I'm just telling you right now, that's an area we just give it to her now. Just give it to her. We don't want to deal with that. Ooh. Oh, I love that little girl. Praise God. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord. They that expect God, just give it to them when they come to him. Demand answers. I want it and I want it now. No. No, you need a lesson in doing things God's way. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew, and waiting upon the Lord again is time in His presence of prayer, time in His presence of praise, time in presence of His word, Him, seeking Him. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come on now, we know our little 5-minute prayers before bed. Our little prayer before our meal, those are good things. Why aren't I hearing from heaven? Why don't I know? Why don't I know? Wow. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Can't treat God like a drive-thru. You want to get your spirit sensitive? No. Do it His way. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. You taking good notes, kids? Oh, come on, you be louder than that. You taking good notes? Yeah. All right, I can't wait to see them. Can't wait to see him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Aren't our kids doing a good job today? I mean, they're sitting so quiet listening to Pastor Mike up here shouting and screaming. They're probably entertained by watching the show. I mean, what's going on up there? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Notice this, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that casually or occasionally seek him. No. He says, I'm a rewarder of the ones that will diligently seek me. Spend time in my presence. Now, it's not because God's dangling the carrot and backing up from you. It's because in his presence is where your spirit gets stronger. To be able to even hear the voice of God. What am I saying? If you want to learn to be sensitive, you actually, I know this is going to come as a shock, you actually have to set time aside to be in His presence. Oh, you mean I might have to turn the TV off? Oh, come on. You mean that I might actually have to rework some things to be in God's presence? He said, seek me first and good things will be added to you. That's what he said. Amen. Well, I just don't understand why I don't know what to do. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. How much time you spend with God? Oh, I don't know. A couple minutes a week. He's not a rewarder of that. He's a rewarder of the diligent ones that seek him. That's what he said. So number one, you got to know that God can't be treated like a drive-thru. Number two, are you ready? 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11. Now see, if you'll live a lifestyle of seeking Him, when the storms arise and answers need to be real quick, you'll be sensitive on the inside and you'll know. You'll be able to discern, because in those tough times, your mind will be loud. Your flesh will be loud because it'll look scary, it'll look hard, it'll look impossible, and you need answers. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Well, the person that's always asking, what do I do? What do I do? I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. It's because your flesh is so loud and your mind is so loud. But the person that's been in the presence of God can discern which way you're going, which way you're saying, Father. It's not hard. Just got to do some things. 1 Kings 19:11. Now, number two is you got to understand that the voice of God is not dramatic. It's not dramatic. If you're looking for dramatics. And God said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind rent or tore the mountains, and they broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. What are these things? Dramatic, spectacular events. Well, I really cried when I thought of that. God's not in your tears. But I got goosebumps. I said goosebumps. I got goosebumps. Never had a goosebump. I got goosebumps, Pastor Mike. God's not in your goosebumps. But it felt so good. God's not in your feelings. That's the danger if you don't learn to discern. Because the devil will wrap things up real pretty for you and make you feel real good, make you think something, and on the inside of that pretty present with a bow is a stick of dynamite. That's what he did to Lot. Oh, he wrapped up Sodom and Gomorrah and made it look real pretty, but it was just a package ready to explode. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake there was a fire. What's that? It's another supernatural, spectacular event. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a still, small, calm, not loud, not dramatic, voice. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the fire. But guess where he was? The still, calm voice. Now, this is what you have to understand. Why don't people hear from heaven or aren't able to discern what God is saying? Because God is speaking through the still, small voice. Now, if your flesh is producing a lot of decibels in activity and commotion, and your mind is going crazy and not disciplined, and thinking all one, this, what about this, pros and cons, and this and that, and this and that, what do I do if I go this, if I go that? That's called decibels, commotion. When the still small voice starts to speak, won't be able to hear it. Can you put on a worship song, just any one of the pre-songs, and start it real low? I'll tell you how to, just put it real, real small. Go ahead and skip to where it's actually playing it. Okay. You can go ahead and lower it a little bit. Okay. If I'm talking to you in my normal voice right now, you don't, that music, it's there. It's not hindering you from hearing what I have to say. Let's pretend I'm God. I know it's a stretch, but let's pretend. Let's pretend I'm God this morning and I'm speaking to you. And the background noise, it's not very loud. It's there, but it's not very loud. I tell you, hey, do this, do that. Doesn't bother me. But when your flesh is off the rails and your mind is off the rails and you've constantly given to the mind, constantly given to the flesh, go ahead and crank that thing. Point received. God's always talking to you. don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. But see, the outward noise is turned up. Your flesh is so loud. Where's God? Where's God? Oh, he's talking. He's talking. But the outward is so loud. Your flesh is so loud and your spirit, man, is so little. It's not sensitive. And we're wondering why. Why? Because God's not going to supersede his ways for you. He's not going to all of a sudden say, you know what? My kid so-and-so, they're too busy to spend time with me, to hear from me, and they need an answer. But their flesh is so loud, they haven't taken time to develop their spirit. They haven't taken time to develop the inward man. They develop the outward man a lot. They're always running and doing things and mentally trying to figure things out. And they can't hear my voice. So you know what? Because they're, you know what they are, special. I'm going to just send them an angel. I'm going to just send them Jesus to wake them up. Nope. God says, do it my way. That's why we're teaching you to learn how to do it his way. So what has to happen is this has to get bigger. This has to get smaller. This has to get smaller and decrease. Why? So you can hear when God communicates, and this is sensitive, and this has been trained, and this has been refined and been sharpened, that when hell on earth breaks loose and you have to make a decision or there's hard things, you've been so in tune with God that you know. You just check in with him. You just get in prayer and check in with him, and you know, I know what to do. Amen. I know what to do. And then when there's decisions that are up ahead that you know you're going to have to make, or plans you're praying up for your life or what to do, you learn to get this on pray. And then when he does speak to you, boom, I heard from heaven. I heard from heaven. But I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not trying to be mean about it. Because I used to be this way, and I still have not arrived. I've made so... You know how I learned to follow the Holy Ghost the best? In all the times that I missed it. There was no better training than when remembered, oh, I remember that feeling I had on the inside. That peace was telling me not to do that. Or that peace was telling me to go that direction. And I listened to my flesh and listened to my mind and I paid the price for it. Well, I want to stop paying the price for things that I don't have to pay the price for. Amen? Amen. So, we're going to close right there. I know, you're shocked about that. That's a miracle right there. But what needs to happen is our spirit needs to get more sensitive. Actually, I lied. I'm not going to close there. 5 minutes. Because if I let this part go, it's going to hurt you from receiving. How did we start to hear my voice better? When we turned the noise down. Psalms 46 and verse 10. Just let me close with this. Give me 5 more minutes. Psalms 46 and verse 10. It's going to go down through some verses here. Be still. And what's the result? And know. Be still in your life. Get out of the commotion and the chaos. Be still, and guess what the result will be? You'll know. Amen. Be still and know. Be still and know. How come I never know? Are you still? Are you seeking him? Are you getting away from the commotion and away from the noise? Or is it loud like that music was and you can't hear? You know, I was saying, and when the music was real loud, I was saying, yeah, go this way, it'll save your life. Don't go, I was just like saying what God would say. Don't go that way, it'll hurt you. Nobody could hear it. Because the noise. And God's all the time giving directions out. Mark 1 and verse 35. You've got to get away from the noise. And this will help you going into next week. And in the morning, this is Jesus, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a place of commotion, chaos, and confusion and prayed. No. Jesus needed to hear from heaven just as much as we do. He went and departed in a solitary place and then sought God. Why? Get away from the noise. Well, I'm just going to have my prayer time when my kids are running around like crazy. Okay, you can pray that way. There's no doubt. You can absolutely commune with God that way. But it's going to be hard to get your spirit sensitive with all the outward commotion. Jesus knew it. He was our example. What did he do? Went somewhere quiet to seek God. Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. Luke 5 and verse 15. But so much more, there went a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by their infirmities. Now what's happening? He's always around commotion and chaos. There's always a lot going on. Nobody's denying life's not busy. But I said this when talking about being in the Word, and the Lord said be in the Word day and night. If you can't do what the Bible says, that's not his problem, that's your problem. If you say, I'm too busy, Pastor Mike, my life, then you need to rearrange your life because he's not changing his ways for your life. Amen. It's not his fault that you got out of order. Verse 16, and he withdrew himself from what? The noise and the commotion. Into the wilderness, what's that, a quiet place, and prayed. What did he do? He set time aside out of the noise. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's just be honest with ourselves. You don't have to raise your hand or tell on yourself out loud, but in your head, you be honest with yourself. How many of us are doing this? How many of us are actually withdrawing in a solitary place and seeking God and hearing from our spirits? I don't know the answer. I'm not assuming that there's not. I'm just saying, how many are really doing this? Or just, oh, I just want the answer to come. Just want the answer to come. Just want the answer to come. Yeah. If you really were doing it, things would change. If you really were hearing from heaven, they would change because God's endeavoring to change your life. Luke 22, verse 39. A couple more verses, I'm almost done. Luke 22, 39. Say, Pastor, we don't believe you that you're almost done. You already told us we were closing, and you lied to us. Luke 22, 39. But what am I trying to show you? That our ultimate example, what did he do? Separated himself. Luke 22, 39. And he came out, and he came out and went as he want. And that's a King James way of saying this way. As was his custom or as was his habit. Jesus went out and went to the Mount of Olives and his disciples followed him. What did he do? Separated himself and went to a private place as his custom was. What did he do? Made time apart with God. In Matthew 6:6, we'll close with this. I promise. I promise this time. Matthew, I don't think I promised before. You say, does that matter? No, but today it does. Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, what's prayer? Waiting on him, seeking him. Enter into your closet. You say, do I have to pray in my closet? He's talking about a quiet, separated, set apart place. Pray, enter into your closet, which represents a quiet, set-apart, secret place with you and him. And when you have shut your door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. Praise God. If you're going to get your spirit to the place where you, if you actually say, I want my life led by him, okay, then you've got to become sensitive to hear him. And you'll never become sensitive to hear him if you don't take yourself out of the noise and start to develop this. All day long, this is getting fed. All day long, this is getting fed. And what's happening? They're growing stronger and stronger and stronger. And days and weeks and months and years go by, and this doesn't get any attention. And it's small and weakly. And then when God's speaking to it, it's like the analogy. You'll never forget that analogy now, the music. Why can't I hear from God? Because your flesh is too loud. Because your mind is too loud. Well, how do we fix it? I'm telling you. And the first thing you need to do for your homework is to begin to set yourself apart in a quiet place. But that might mean I have to wake up 20 minutes early. So what? Jesus did it. Before everybody's awake. So what? It's worth it. It's worth it. Well, that might mean that, you know, I might have to wait till everybody goes to bed and stay up a little longer. It's worth it. I might have to, you know, separate myself on my lunch break just to get some quiet time with God. You need quiet time with God. Change your life. Being able to be sensitive to your spirit. But so many times people just go on and kind of want to just bring God with them. And God will go with you. But they just want to, instead of setting aside time to hear from him, just, God, I'm going to do my thing and you just come along with me and bandage everything up when things go wrong and I get in trouble. I don't like to live that way. So begin this week to set yourself apart. And then starting next week, I'm going to start showing you specific ways. This is a start. You got to get away, get quiet. Specific ways to train this guy, the spirit man. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. You can go ahead and get the stuff ready for communion. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You for the Word this morning. Now, Lord, You are so good to us that You not only gave us Your Word, which guides us, but You gave us the Holy Ghost, which guides us. You didn't leave us here to wander or to wonder. No, You said we can live life on purpose, hitting bullseyes of things that we need, places we need to go, answers we need to hear. If we'll do what You've said in the Word and act like Jesus, we'll hear from heaven. And Father, there are people that need to hear from heaven. There are situations and circumstances where we need answers. We need direction. We need Your leading. We need Your guidance. So Father, I thank You that we will endeavor to be doers of this Word. And Lord, I just pray that people would be sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we'll go forth a different way. And Father, we'll give You the praise and glory. If I could ask everybody to bow your heads and to close your eyes. Ask yourself this question here this morning in your head. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? I'm not trying to be grim here, but everybody's going to have an end. If Jesus doesn't come back, we all are going to see a natural death. When that day comes, would you go to heaven? Ask yourself that. When I ask myself that question, I know that the answer is yes. So how can you be so sure? Because God gave me the directions in the Bible. He didn't say church attendance was how I would get in. He didn't say being a good person and having my good works outweigh my bad would get me in. He didn't say that giving to charity and being generous and being moral would get me in. No. The directions to get to heaven are simple. He said you must believe on Jesus and receive Jesus. That's it. When the criminal that was on the cross that died with Jesus looked at Jesus and said, I believe in You, Jesus did not look back at him and say, you did not go to church enough, I can't accept you. You are not a good person, I cannot accept you. You did not give enough money to charity, I cannot accept you. No. Jesus said, you believe in Me, you receive Me, you're in. You made it. That's how simple it is. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're in this place or and you've never received Jesus, you've never believed and received Jesus, if you're listening online or in the future via the archive, and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I won't have anybody stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. And again, you're not joining this church. You don't even have to come back here. You never even have to show up here if you're listening online. It's not about coming to church to get you saved. It's about receiving Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior and know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven. And not only that, when you receive Jesus, God becomes your Father. And oh, how good life gets then. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus this morning, would you lift your hand high in the air and put it right back down? If you've never done this before, if you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. Anybody want to receive Jesus? I see that hand. Now that person that raised their hand, you don't have to do this ever again. Ever again. Anybody else want to receive Jesus this morning? I see that hand in the back. You don't have to ever do this again. Remember, this is the day you got born again. Anybody else want to receive Jesus here this morning that's never done it before? Anybody? Just lift your hand high in the air. Won't embarrass you. Have you put it right back down. Father, we had a couple hands, and I don't know if there's other people that need to receive Jesus that just won't raise their hands. Maybe they're shy. Maybe there's people listening online, and they want to be included in this. Well, for those of you that raised your hand, the next thing to do is to declare your belief in Jesus and to receive Him in your heart. I'm going to lead you in a prayer to do that. All I ask is that you repeat it after me and that you mean it with all your heart. Again, you're not joining this church, or you're just declaring, I believe in Jesus. If you're here and you didn't raise your hand, if you're listening online, and obviously I couldn't see your hand, it's not the hand raising that gets you born again, it's the believing in Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, those people that raised their hand, those that should have, along with everybody else in the church, let's go ahead and declare this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. And I ask You to come into my heart because I believe that You rose from the dead. I take You as my Lord and Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. We're going to take up communion. Brothers, you can come forward and start passing out the elements. This is a time of reverence, a time of worship. Praise the Lord, where we celebrate and remember what Jesus did for us by dying on that cross. Thank you very much. course, don't drink the juice or eat the bread yet. We're going to go ahead and do this all together. But let's just begin to worship Him and to praise Him. For those of you that received Jesus and made Him the Lord of your life, He loves you so much. You never have to do that again. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for what Jesus did for us. We thank You for what Jesus did for us and the price that He paid. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your body that was broken, Your blood that was shed. Now, if you raised your hand for the first time, or you didn't raise your hand, but you should have, but you prayed, and the next step for you, and if you're listening online, is to get planted in a Bible-teaching church. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. But to learn what God has for you, you need a pastor. I'll preach the Bible, but it doesn't have to be here. Go where God's leading you. Your best life's ahead of you. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus, for all that You've done. For all that You've given. All that You've provided. We thank You that You died on that cross for us. Lord, I think about my life before You. And it wasn't pretty. And I think about what You've done in my life and what You sacrificed so I could live a blessed life. So I could go to heaven. So I could live in the abundant life and have a sound mind. Father, I think about that sacrifice. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful, Lord. I want You to know that I do not take it for granted what You've done for us. Father, I love You so much. I praise You this morning. We're grateful for everything You've done. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, Paul said this. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do in remembrance of Me.'" Let's go ahead and break it like Jesus did and go ahead and eat. Now, Lord, we thank You that Your body was broken for our healing. Your body was broke so we could walk in divine healing. We thank You for the price that You paid in Your body through the stripes that were laid upon You, which by Your stripes we are healed. We worship You for that, Father. We thank You for that. Verse 25 says, "After the same manner He also took the cup when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink..." "So often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." Let's go ahead and drink the juice. Now, Lord, we thank You that the juice represents the blood that was spilled. We thank You it's the precious blood of Jesus that washed us white as snow. We thank You because of the blood being spilled, it cleanses us from all wrongdoing. Puts us in a category of righteousness and enables us to spend eternity with You and to fellowship with You until we get to that eternity. Let's just thank Him, excuse me, this morning for His blood, for His body being broken. Oh, we ought to be a grateful church. Actually, let's just stand to our feet and worship Him. Father, we love You and praise You. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Just close your eyes and focus on Him and worship Him. We bless You, Lord. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We aren't forgetful. We aren't ungrateful. We do not take You for granted. We thank You for what You did for us. We praise You and we bless You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you're dismissed, if all the Children's Church kids could come up when we dismiss, pass your cups to the outward aisle. And don't forget, we have fellowship, Wednesday night service. You are dismissed. Come on up, kids. Why don't you let the kids go first?
Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. It goes on to say, let us magnify the Lord and exalt